You're listening to Vectis Radio FM 104.6, and we are joined very happily by Maria Woodford and Mark Lyne from Chasing Scarlet, amongst other many projects, which I'm sure we're going to have a chance to talk about today, hopefully. Although I don't know how we're going to cram it all in. If we start with Chasing Scarlet and how that really came about, how you decided to put that collaboration together.
So I was gigging on my own under Maria Jane for a few years. I wanted to create that kind of alt country, alternative country, mm-hmm. folk sound.
You've got a very lyrical voice, I always think, when I listen to you.
So oh, really?
It's ideal for that style of music, isn't it?
Well, I've not been told that before, so... I had all these artists and these different music sort of sounds in my mind of what I wanted to create, and I was very fortunate enough to meet Mark, who plays the mandolin, ukulele, harmonica and guitar.
And learning other things as
and
well.
And learning other instruments
too. How do you fit all that in?
Don't really know, you just sort of make time as and when you can, I suppose. Mm. When I first started learning mandolin, I was taking it to work and practicing on my lunch break, so...
Yeah. That's dedication for you, right there.
Yeah. It's quite unnatural, actually. It's quite annoying. He can pick up an instrument and within 2 minutes he's already figured out by ear how to play something on an instrument he's never played before. He's one of these people who...
That's a talent. It is. But like you say, slightly annoying, because anyone else...
Something that might take me years to just do. But obviously, because you know lots of different instruments... There's transferable.
Yeah,
kind
it's
of
all transferable skills. It all comes along together. So,
lots of local gigs, but also some exciting things coming up. In that you're in the course of producing your EP, which is due to come out very shortly, isn't it?
It is the 14th of September, and we are going to launch that at the Waverley Beer and Poetry Festival.
Yeah, Waverley Beer, Music and Poetry Festival, which is an aid of ability for dogs. Which is in East Cowes, so
And that's next Saturday
the 14th.
Through and Sunday as well, I think.
And Friday night as well. Yeah. All being well, if the CDs arrive in time, which they should do, we're going to sell them and give all the profits to the charity as well.
Oh, how wonderful.
Is the plan at the moment. So
that's it.
See how many we can get through and give it all away.
And it's good to get the music out there as well, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just a good opportunity to sort of showcase what we can do conceptually, I suppose, more than anything else, is how the album sort of, or the EPs come together. It's all our ideas together that has created a soundscape that if we had the opportunity to have a big band with lots of different skill sets, then that's the sort of the sound we could have on a big stage if we wanted it.
Yeah.
It's sort of what we're aiming for, isn't it?
Because you do collaborate with other musicians, so you were saying that you have people on the drums sometimes for events. Ben Johnson's played the violin on some tracks as well.
Ben's done some violin on two of the tracks on the EP and some backing vocals as well. We had a banjo player come in for one of the songs, which was fantastic. But the vast majority is myself and Mark on the guitar, Mark on the mandolin and harmonica, and my vocals.
So pulling that all together must be quite a feat, because you're obviously very creative people, but then if you're full of ideas, how do you pin that down? How do you get to a point where you think, I can do something with this?
That was really difficult. Luckily, Maria found a really good producer called Luke in Southampton, who was sort of able to sort of pinpoint what Maria and me were sort of talking about in terms of the soundscape that we're looking for. He knows a lot about sounds and music and production. So
that's it. He took a lot of different influence. I gave him some reference tracks, and so I like the violin from this. I like the vocal stylings in this. I like the different aspects in that song. And so he was brilliant. He just took those on board and helped us create it. And the longer down the process you get, the clearer your ideas get as well. It was a learning curve for me. I'm quite perfectionist, I guess.
A lot of musicians who I talk to, that is obviously a trait. And the other thing is, because it's so personal to you, it's yours.
Yeah.
It's getting someone else's critique on it and having them see it in a slightly different light sometimes. Yeah. It must be quite difficult, because you're almost giving something over to them to do something with.
I did have to relinquish some sense of control over it, absolutely. And it's the back and forward and the kind of, let's try this, let's try that. And the project was never, it was never about trying to create something for any kind of commercial success. It was a somewhat self-indulgent, creative kind of project, really, and just kind of discovering what I wanted in terms of creating a sound on a produced track. So the songs are not the 3 minutes or 3.5 minutes that you might normally get from other songs. I think one of them's about 6 minutes long, but it's what I wanted from the song, and so I, for this particular EP, we've gone with just getting our own kind of creative kind of input in there, really.
And all, like, any sort of any influence, artists that I've influenced over the years have sort of all played a part in creating the soundscape, I think, more than anything else.
That's the sweetest defeat. We're quite big fans of Bon Iver, and so we really wanted to try and create that kind of soundscape for that song. But there's lots of different influences in all the different songs.
So you were talking a little bit about creation of songs, but you also write songs, and you then pass on those skills to other people, don't you? Because there's another project that there's lots of projects you've been involved in, but one that you've been working on particularly, which involves Newport Minster, is some Heritage Lottery funding to do some work with youngsters over the summer.
That's right. So as part of Island Music Makers, which is the company that I created, it's been up and running for about a year now. We went into the Minster, and over the course of 3 different days, we got the children composing the music using keyboards, and writing lyrics to a song, and then we created props and scenes and videoed the whole lot to make this somewhat epic music video.
How fabulous!
And it's all based around the story, the real life story of Sir Edward Horsey. He was around in the mid 1500s on the Isle of Wight, and he was at one point Admiral of Hampshire, and he was captain of the Isle of Wight. He was responsible for building the defences around the island.
So they were learning even though they didn't know it.
That's right, they were learning, but they were also learning about island heritage, and that's the whole point, really. And so because the remains of Sir Edward Horsey are actually at the Minster, the Newport Minster in St Thomas's Square, they really wanted to sort of tell that story and get the young people involved in kind of getting that story out to other people. So.
And so that's just about to have a launch.
It is tomorrow morning, that's Saturday the 7th of September at 10:30 a.m. They'll be airing the video there for all the people that are involved and their families and anyone else who wants to come and watch.
Brilliant. Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great fun.
It was good fun,
it.
Yeah.
We were there painting pieces of cardboard to make blue waves and a boat and a castle and things like that. So, yes, it's definitely kind of a little bit tongue-in-cheek. It's a funny video, but also very factual, so definitely educational.
Did you find it difficult in terms of keeping the children's imagination, but not letting them run so wild that you couldn't actually pin it down to something?
It was a challenge.
It was a challenge.
Yeah, it was a challenge, yes. At times. Yeah.
It was. They were a lively group, and they had lots and lots of ideas, and they all wanted to try and incorporate all the ideas into the song. We just about managed it in the end, but yes, it was lots of different aspects to the workshop. So and they very much enjoyed creating their cardboard swords and eye patches and putting their bandanas on and things like that. That's when they really started.
It's the imagery, isn't it, that actually then brings on that imagination.
That's
even
it.
More.
Yeah.
And they also got the experience to record with a proper producer, didn't they?
They
Noah
Johnson.
Yeah,
he's fantastic.
Yeah, he took the kids in one by one and recorded the vocals and put them all together, didn't he? And then
he did.
We had Shiraz Photography come along and do the video.
That's a really special experience for those youngsters, because it's not something you get to do every day, is it? Or possibly again. So that will stick in the memory for something they did over the summer holidays.
Yeah, definitely.
And what age group was that? So 8 to upwards? Or
8 to 16 year olds. Yeah.
So quite a wide age range there,
yeah,
for,
yeah,
you as well. And you also do some work under the Island Music Makers banner to do like songwriting events. And
that's right, in schools in particular. So this summer we did a Leavers Song project for Year 6 at St Thomas of Canterbury. So I had the entire year group writing a song together about their experiences at the school. It's a big milestone for them. They're moving,
yes,
on to high school, secondary school. I'm,
yes,
showing my age. And so, yeah, it was a really good opportunity for them to really take stock of everything that's happened at school to that point and what's coming in the future. And amazing group of young people at St Thomas's. They really are. And they're really, really passionate about songwriting, really passionate about making the music video as well, which was lots of fun. They got to sort of do lots of dance routines and yeah, it was lots of fun.
And it's quite an emotional time actually as a youngster moving through that stage. So to be able to get that out in a creative way is probably quite helpful to a lot of them before they do move.
Absolutely.
On.
A lot of them were very emotional. It's a truly emotional time, isn't it? At that, you know, that transition.
Mm.
So yeah. So in terms of kind of allowing them to process what they're going through, I think it really succeeded.
Mm.
So.
And you've got a songwriter's den as well, I understand.
Yes, that's right. In the Newport Congregational Church on Pyle Street every Wednesday, term time, 4 till 5. So that's a chance for young people, again, 8 to 16 year olds, to come together. So we do lyric writing exercises, music composition exercises, using a variety of different instruments. And I also provide opportunities for them to perform at events. So Carisbrook Castle had a big event for all the schools, and we were the only independent group there with
Wonderful.
Our original music, and there was a big stage in the Bowling Green, and they had a chance to perform their original songs.
Mm.
And then to top it all off, they performed at the Isle of Wight Festival in the kids' zone.
Okay.
So, and that was fantastic. Really great experience for them.
Yeah.
So.
Totally different to anything they've probably experienced before.
Well, that's it, to get that opportunity, not only to express yourself through your songwriting, but to showcase it and share it, that you see the confidence going up and up and up in particular individuals in the group. It was great. And there are members of the group that don't want to perform, and that's okay too. So it's never a pressure. Some people like to write their songs and keep them to themselves, and that's great too. And
but actually, what a great outlet for them to be using their literacy and oracy skills as well, without
Absolutely.
Almost realising they're doing that.
That's it. They're editing skills, and they're looking at sort of poetry and rhyming schemes and things like that. But in terms of mental health, I think it's had a really significant impact on quite a few members of the group. I take a lot of people that have had counselling in the past, and so we do a half price discount for anybody who's had any kind of support services, so anybody from Barnardo's and things like that, or private counselling services, they can come for half price, and it's
probably a great emotional outlet for some people.
We get some really emotional songs actually written, and it surprises me every time that I think people can be sometimes a little dismissive of young people, especially that age, that, you know, they've got some quite complicated emotions, some quite complicated life events that they're going through, and it can sometimes just saying it out loud or writing it down, you can see those little moments where they're really understanding themselves and what they've been through. And to be heard when you're a young person, it can feel like quite a rarity.
Mm-hmm.
So to have your thoughts in a song, and for those songs to be heard, you know, there's that kind of sense of validation and
very
and
empowering, I would have thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're very busy with lots of amazing different projects, but going back to Chasing Scarlet and performing yourselves, you've got obviously the Beer and Poetry Festival coming up. Are there any other gigs on the horizon? Are you?
We get quite regularly
at
various sort of pubs across the island, at the Fountain in West Cowes, and the Wheat Chief in Yarmouth, the Shipping Castle in East Cowes.
Foo Bar in Ride,
yeah, absolutely.
We
try and kind of, we don't like to stick to the same venue for too long, we like to kind of move around, but limited time. Mark's in a couple of other bands. So
I don't know how do you you play all these instruments, you're in all these different bands. How do you juggle it all?
You just sort of, I suppose you just get on with it. Like the joy of playing the music is what sort of keeps you going, I suppose. And I'm in another originals band called Kindred Found. And then I'm in a sort of like a blues rock and roll party band called Baxter. And yeah, just the fun of playing those people and those events and those gigs just spurs you on a little bit. Although you're going from work, you're like, oh, I'm really tired, I don't know if I can do it. And then you go out and you're like, actually, I'm all right, I can do it. It's fine, it's good. And then you get to the end of the gig and then suddenly you crash again.
So suddenly you're
on a high, and you climb into bed at the end of the night and you're just like, that's it, you're out cold in seconds. So, yeah.
Well, it sounds like a life well lived and full for the pair of you at the moment. So thank you for taking the time to come and talk to us at Vectis Radio.
We'd
be more than happy to have you come into the studio actually on one of the shows if you get a chance in the future. And of course, we'll be out on the road and seeing you. Well, you're playing across the island. I'm actually coming along to next Saturday's Beer and Poetry Festival. So we'll catch up then, no doubt.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you,
Mark and Maria.